All right, let me just confirm. Jed, are you back with us?
I am, yep.
All righty, we are set and ready to roll for our Media Bits Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you in media sales. Whether you are selling ads in print, your e-newsletter, your website, or a bundle of all three, you are in the right place. Whether your circulation is free, paid, or controlled, you are in the right space. Whether you sell ads into a magazine, newspaper, or niche publication, you are still in the right place. We are delighted that you are here with us. As we're getting settled in, some opening words over the last 24 plus years that we've hosted these educational opportunities, we always encourage you, close your office door. Try to get to a quiet spot. See if you can turn off anything electronic that will distract you. It's also not an accident that we don't put something up on your screen, which would simply create multitasking and many-tasking. What we want you to do is make notes. The more notes you make, the more notes you take, the more we're transferring the knowledge, which is our coach and coaching approach. As we're transferring the knowledge, it becomes yours. And that's always the key for any of our educational teleseminars. And we want you to have the opportunity to both listen, learn, and, of course, ask questions. How do you ask questions? Simply hit reply to the email confirmation that brought you here, or simply send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and our team will pull those in, and we'll work and weave those in conjunction with the questions that have already come in. Jed, how about some opening words? My gosh, we've been rolling along since 2006, man. We've been doing this for more than a minute. It's always a pleasure working together with you and your team at MediaBids. How about some opening words, and tell us a little bit about MediaBids and what's cooking?
Sure. Well, thank you, Ernest. Ernest does a great job with his teleseminars, and I always look forward to them and always learn a lot. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids, and we are a company that is focused on generating revenue, ad revenue for publications of all types. You know, as the world has changed and sort of gone to different models of advertising, we have shifted along with them, and we do a lot of tracking of print ads, a lot of figuring out of what types of ads work in what types of publications for what types of clients. And you know, what we find is that consistently print generates very, very high qualified responses. And so we really capitalize on that with mostly national advertisers. We believe we've been able to bring back advertisers who have long ago forgotten about print or moved away from it. And we've been able to bring them back into print because we can show them exactly how they're doing and the types of results that they're generating. You know, print can compete with any medium and outperform any medium when it comes to close rate, when it comes to the types of customers that are generated. And you know, so we go to great lengths to prove that to people. And as a result, we've been able to generate lots of revenue, millions and millions of dollars every year for publications around the country. If you're using us, thank you. If you're not, we'd love to talk to you and get you more familiar with MediaBits. So thanks again to Ernest, and look forward to helping today's teleseminar.
Beautiful. And Jed, always a pleasure working with you and your team. For those of you who already work with MediaBids, you know what they bring. They know exactly how to deliver ad results. They know exactly how to deliver additional revenue for you. For those of you, if you've not had the pleasure of working with Jed, I've worked closely with he and his team since 2006, long, long time. They know, please reach out and learn more about MediaBids, and you will be pleasantly pleased, as so many of those who have worked for them. They've literally worked with tens of thousands of magazines, hundreds of thousands of ads, millions of inbound leads. They know exactly what they're doing on that side. By way of introduction, very briefly, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales industry, Jed, as you know, way back in the middle of the 1980s, launched three of my own publications, so I know what it means to be behind the wheel, behind a presentation, or behind a keyboard to do it myself. I was a leader in a $1 billion media group and then launched Power Hour in 1995. We've now coached and guided more than 2,700 ad sales teams and leaders and companies in 14 time zones around the world over the last 24 years. We love helping media salespeople rock, and as evidence of that, you'll hear me touch on during the course of today, we host a weekly sales academy, which looks like what we're doing here, but more specifically, it's open mic. We field your questions dynamically every single Tuesday. We began 297 weeks ago. Please come join us. Simply just click on our Power Hour website, and you can learn more about that. Today, Jed, is our educational teleseminar number 269. Why do we count? Because what we measure is what improves, which is what we'll be talking about today. So we have three key areas that we're going to be talking about. Number one, strategic ad selling. What did we learn from 2018? 2019, we're going to talk about specific questions to be asking yourself and your team from a leadership and selling perspective. And then lastly, we'll wrap up talking about I wish, my favorite two words in the English language. So, Jed, looking back, you know, we're titled, you know, what we're talking about here today is 10% back and 100% forward. For those of you that sent me responses going, Ernest, it's 110% forward. I agree. Jed and I agree, and thank you for the correction. The simple principle here, though, is similar to driving your car, okay? When you're driving your car, you don't spend your entire time looking in the rearview mirror, right? You look forward. But the opposite is true. If there was a big 18-wheeler screaming up behind you, if you failed to look in the rearview mirror, you would fail to fail, and that 18-wheeler would likely crash into your back bumper. And it's the same thing every single January for 24 years. The things you're going to hear today are an overview of the kinds of granular things we work strategically on with media sales groups, whether it's your website, your newsletter, your print, or all three. These are the kinds of things that we talk about. We look backward to make certain we can capture the trends and know where we were so that it catapults and helps us win going into the new year. Okay. And as we're talking about those things here, we want you to be honest. We want you to think honestly. What were the high points of 2018? What were the things that you were most proud of? Where were the big wins that you surpassed a competitor, that you increased your ad results, that you had an uptick related to your website? Where were those opportunities? And then on the other side, be honest, where were the things that didn't go so well? What did you learn from last year? What were the low points, right? And this also syncs up with a tool that we also use in January, and that's a SWOT analysis. For some of you, you might be familiar with it. For others, not. Again, a little capsule in our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy. We have an entire week wrapped around SWOT. What does SWOT stand for? S-W-O-T. Strengths. What are the strengths that you and your team have? And we look at it across a whole cross-section. We look at it through readership. We look at it through ad penetration and ad market share. We look at it through your editorial, your circulation, your distribution, your team tenure, and through your company viewfinder. There's lots of work that we do in a very granular way related to strengths. Then we carry all of that over to weaknesses. Then we look at opportunities, and then we look at threats. Okay, SWOT as just a little capsule of what we do related to the start of a new year gives us the opportunity, Jed, to look back, look forward, and reflect on those pieces. Another big piece related to 2018, what did you learn related to competitors? What happened to those that you competed in the space? And, Jed, this is always that place that I sort of drop into, I don't know, never land, and I have to explain the little schoolyard game we played called Tug of War. Three on this side of the rope, three on that side, and back and forth and back and forth. We all know the outcome. One side would win. The other side would come across the line. Jed and I want you to know today that every moment of every sale, of every meeting, of every presentation, of every objection you field, every single one silently, there is an invisible rope moving back and forth between you and your competitors. Think about that psychologically. You go into an ad agency, and they decide that they're going to go longer term with you and maintain an ad or increase an ad campaign, and they're going to reduce a competitor. What just happened in that little keystroke? You picked up some more rev, they lost a little rev, and it happened very silently. Okay, but if you had sort of a helicopter over the marketplace and those buyers and decision makers, you could see that. A decision maker that took a meeting with you but canceled the renewal with a competitor, that rope pulled gently to you. How about on the circulation or distribution side? Possibly, maybe, you lost some key circulation or something's happened in your controlled circ. Maybe it was a strategic alliance or something along the lines, and you lost that, and it impacted your results. And instead of renewing at 92%, you renew at 82%. Even that loss of 10%, where did it go? The rope pulled back towards competitors. Jed and I are saying to you that there is a capsule of revenue happening between you and all of your competitors, both in the revenue and the number of advertisers, and also in the state of mind. We call that thought leadership. And for all of you in prior teleseminars, Jed and I talk about this. If you just are here transactionally just to sell ads, you are a commodity. You are a nothing more than a transaction. How do you elevate your media story, your readership, your psychographics, your demographics, and ultimately your ad results on the other side? All of those things weave together in a circular way. None are more important than the other, but obviously the ability to track and measure and keep track of the ad results are the ultimate scorecard that we all have to deliver on the results on that side. I know I say those words, I make Jed twitch a little bit. Jed, we're kind of passionate about tracking our ad results, yes?
Right. Yeah, we're big believers in tracking ad results. I think it's the only way that the only way to differentiate yourself from every other medium, and most online mediums offer it. So I think to compete with in that tug of war that you're referring to, Ernest, to even be in the game, right? You've got to be able to show results to advertisers who increasingly are worried primarily about results and secondarily about everything else.
Yep, I'm with you on that side, and that really is the key piece to recognize as we're talking about this, is that we must have a passion related to our tracking, our sourcing, and we'll talk more about that in the second portion of our teleseminar, but it is a big deal. All right, so what did we learn about competitors last year? And we learn on many, many fronts. We learn about people coming and going to the team via LinkedIn. Who did they add? Who left? We learn and acquire knowledge when someone who's left sends a resume to us and we interview them. We learn from search engine visibility reports of how competitors are doing. We learn from advertisers, right, and ad buyers. We learn from our ad drop reports. Ad drop reports is an entire week in our Tuesday Sales Academy. We've also done an entire teleseminar related to that. That's another barometer. Gee, that's interesting. I'm looking at my competitors. There's 500 ads. Which ones went up? Which ones went down? Which ones stayed the same? Which one in? Which one out? All those simple questions give us a more complex fabric of what's happening with competitors. So we do study competitors intensely. We don't respond or react just because of what they're doing, but we acknowledge what competitors are doing, and then we don't look to just match. We look to far exceed and surpass. In my opinion, in Jed's opinion, there's one pie, and we want you to have all of it. We do not like that you have 3 or 4 or 7 or 10 competitors. We want you to win every day in every way related to your ad sales. That's why you're here, and or that's also why so many of you that have joined us here are also part of our Tuesday Sales Academy. That's what the focus is all about. We also look at the piece related to print versus digital. You've already heard the opening words from Jed. Jed sits at the most unique vantage point of seeing advertisers on the left and results on the right via his keyboard. If any of you wanted to salivate for a moment and imagine what that would be like, I certainly do. I can't imagine sitting there looking at both sides, ads over here in literally hundreds and hundreds of ads and literally thousands and thousands of opportunities to watch and see, and then millions and millions of inbound calls. okay, that they're tracking, that they can see what's happening on both sides. They have a really unique perspective and point of view. And when he says to you, print ads deliver, he says it every single month that we come here together. It's because it's true, and because he knows it's true, and because he knows it's working. And when he has top shelf agencies and media buyers coming to him and literally willing to pay vastly more for print ads and print advertising, it's amazingly, and I know, Jed, I'm giving a little teaser, because generally in the first, maybe the second or third month of the year, you come around the bend, you go, okay, and it's like, I got all the data from last year, I'm ready to go. You know how much I love that meeting, yes?
Sure, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it next month. Sounds good.
that would be great. I would love that. I usually walk away with at least two pages of notes. So stay tuned for all of you. Lots to cover on that. Okay. Most importantly, wrapping up the first point about 2018, track your success in 2019. Every 30 days, what you measure is what improves, okay? So when you listen to Jed and myself talk about stats and data and trends, look, we pay attention to all of it, and what you measure is what improves. Let's just before we transition to the second part, Jed, we have some questions, and I think that you will like this one. Melinda in New Mexico asks a question. How long should an ad run to get attention and to assess results? I've heard you talk about this point. You want to take this one for Melinda?
I mean, you know, old school ad salespeople on the phone are going to, you know, are not going to like my answer to this. But what we find is that results plateau after three insertions, and then after those three insertions, the results don't change by more than 10% up or down for pretty much ever. One of the amazing things about print is how consistent it is. And I sometimes will sit there at my desk at the keyboard that Ernest is referring to, which is far messier than he makes it sound, but I sometimes sit there at my keyboard, and I sit there and I say to myself, how can this 10,000 circulation weekly, you know, in, it doesn't matter, Wisconsin, how can they generate, you know, 17 calls for each network every single week for the past, you know, 5 years? It just doesn't make any sense, right? You would think that at some point the market would get saturated, or there would be more of a demand, but it's just very, very consistent. Now obviously there's some things that interrupt that, right? I mean, the holidays are sort of an aberration, you know, to some extent. Even January is an aberration because people just behave, consumers seem to behave differently in January and are interested in different types of products that they maybe have postponed looking at in November and December. But to answer your question, we get a pretty good indication how an ad is going to do in the first three insertions. And we do see sort of a steady increase in many cases, especially with products that require more explanation. For example, you know, we have a dental insurance policy, which is very popular and it does very well, but it seems to take people a little longer to kind of grasp what that is. So maybe for an ad like that, it takes four or five insertions to kind of plateau versus a more straightforward ad, like at Omaha Steaks, for example, which is just, you know, here's exactly what you get, here's the cost. Everyone kind of understands what it is, so that plateaus probably earlier, you know, after one or two insertions.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Melinda, I'm sorry, Jed, more to add to that, or?
No, that's a good place to stop.
All right, very good. Melinda, we're hoping that's helpful. Stay tuned. You heard Jed say, sounds like next month we're going to come back and really peel the layers back on that, Melinda, but we're hoping that's helpful. If it is, let us know. just simply hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here. If you have additional questions, please let us know on that. I just wanted to quickly say to Joe a little shout-out who says, I'm all ears. I'm a top producer, and I want to continue to rock. Joe in California, we love your what we call always be green and growing, never red and ripe, and we love your perspective. I want to take one more quick one. Lynn in Massachusetts, who said, how do I move advertisers from one issue at a time to an annual agreement? What a fabulous question, Lynn. As a starting point, don't have one X. Don't have one time as a starting point. You will immediately fix that. Number two, there's something called merchandising of rate cards, where we take a look at how your rate spread is between, for example, if I'm looking at a full page 3 time, 6 or 12, which would be the annual, how you spread that is a strategic part of how you merchandise a rate card, and how you move from a quarter to a half and up to a full is another component of merchandising a rate card. So the answer is very straightforward. And then beyond that, it's your actual presentation and what goes in your media presentation. We believe there are 20 key core areas for you to be the best you can be, so that there is no question why you're not getting a long-term agreement. But out of the gate, if I saw a 1X on your media kit, that would be the first thing that I would ask you to remove, okay? So let's see. So Lynn in Massachusetts, we're hoping that's helpful. Jed, let's move to the second part of our call. There is that the scene in Smokey and the Bandit where they sing the song, we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. The second part of what we've got going on here, I love that song. the second part of this, just so all of you know, there is a we're going to touch on some key areas, okay? There's a lot here. You're going to hear us talk about the ocean. When we're really working on the coaching side with our media groups or our Ad Sales Academy on Tuesdays, we break these pieces down in bite sizes, okay? So we want you to know that our goal today is to give you a look at the ocean, have you think about the ocean. Near the ocean is the sand. Above the ocean is the sun and the moon. Think about it strategically, but do know that when we're helping you and helping your team, we literally get out the, you know, a thimble and go thimble by thimble to help you relate it to these things. So let's talk about some of the key things that we want you to think about, and we're going to give this to you through two filters, okay? For those of you who are presidents and owners and CEOs of your media group, you're going to listen to the things we're going to cover through your filter, looking at it from a leadership perspective. For those of you on the other side that are from a selling and sales perspective or VP of sales, you're looking at it from your vantage point, your performance, and then, of course, folding it up from a corporate perspective. And we always bump into the questions, Jed, gee, my company is not doing this, or they're not providing this, or they're not covering these, and of which we say, then take a leadership role and have your leadership listen to what we're doing here and then fold some of these key strategies in. There are approximately 30 key areas. So, Jed, like when you take your car in for sort of the big tune-ups, you know, $60,000, $90,000, $100,000, you do more than your standard at $30,000, okay? So this is a big picture view of sort of that big, you know, 90 or 100,000, where you really go in and look at everything automotively. It's the same thing here, and I'm not going to cover all of the 30 areas, but we want all of you to know that this is that full look in the month of January as we're leaning back. What did we get and glean from 2018, and what does it say about 2019? So let's go down the path, okay? Number one, your revenue growth. What happened in your top line 2017, 2018, and what are you forecasting into 2019? For those of you that work in a corporate setting where you worked on your budgets, a lot of your budget work was done in September, October, approved in November, maybe fine-tuned in December, and you're into the new year in January. For those of you that are smaller or medium, at least know what the big media groups are doing and the way that it flows, and you can, of course, mirror parts of it. We do believe in having a financial plan for each and every year because all of your decisions back into that. So Jed and I don't care if you're a team of two or a team of 2002. We believe that the financial picture and the thought put into 2019, is coming from 2018, and giving you a direction on the other side. Some of those questions related to that. What percent of your revenue came from ad agencies? What came from your top 10 or top 20 clients? Or top 10 or 20 sectors? Now, why do we go down this path? Because sometimes we find media groups that are too top-heavy, that they've got some really big advertisers carrying a large percent of revenue, or they have a really big section. Take, for example, if you're a business journal and a third or more of your advertising is coming from, just let's use realtors, for example. Some of you might say, boy, isn't that great? We're doing wonderful. Yes. But what if there was a downturn on the economic side and you were not getting as many real estate ads? So maybe you should be balancing out with more automotive, or maybe you're top heavy with automotive, but you don't have enough realtors. You get what we're saying. Think about it strategically. Also, we talked about what percent of that revenue is moving around print versus digital. How is it being moved around between your newsletters, between your website, and your print from that perspective?
Percentage would you say is top heavy? What would you call top heavy? So 20%?
Yeah, anything that would be over about 25 or 30%. 20% I want to hear. Hey, listen, you got 20%, okay, you know, that's automotive in your business journal, okay, you know, let's talk about that. You know, is there more to get on there, that side? Then I'd ask, what is your second, third, and fourth, and where are they as a percentage, and is there more to get there? You know, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. You know, if we were in the example of if you had 25% on the automotive but only 5% on realtors, and we were to take 5 to 15% on the realtors, now you'd have kind of one at 25, one at 15, and then what if we added home builders, right? Or what if we added insurance companies, and that became 15% of the overall? So the point is that we just don't want to be sitting in one category. With the rise and fall of economic trends, you know, we know what happens with automotive when the economy drops, and we know what happens with new homes and home builders and realtors. You know, insurance companies trend a little differently. They don't have quite hospitals, insurance companies. There are certain kinds of advertisers that are more steady Freddy no matter what. But anytime we get up above 20%, Jed, we have a vulnerability. Because then if I asked on the other side, what if all that 20% went away? And sometimes media sales teams will say, oh, but Ernest, that's really dark man thinking. I said, yeah, but you pay me for that. I said, and let's be honest, what happened in 2008, 2012? A complete implosion of the economic engine. So if you were selling ads to banks, to anything related to home building or realtors or real estate, all of that took a dive, and that was worldwide. Now, that was one of the biggest tsunamis we've seen. For example, you might see the rise and fall of an automotive sector because that runs in cycles. But the tsunami we saw in 2008, 2012 was debilitating, and if we had any kind of significant exposure. Does that make sense, Jed?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, and you know, you can even come up with examples that are, you know, for example, daily newspaper specific, right? If you think about in the years before the online job search sites like Monster.com, you know, there were sections that publications were extremely reliant on that would come out every Sunday, and they were $60,000-$70,000 a week sections, you know, and literally in the course of about 6 months that all just went away.
Right. Think back to, I remember classified newspapers. I remember the newspaper, the Sunday paper in Dallas, that had like 25 pages of classified ads of all kinds.
Yeah.
25 pages. And if you remember, Jed, that was one of the most profitable parts of newspapers in those days, right?
Sure. Yeah, very much so.
Yep, very much so. So we need to be nimble, and Jed, it's a great question, and thank you for posing that. So we look at our revenue. We look at how it's dispersed. We look at our profitability. Here's another piece. We look at our cash flow. Cash flow is also linked to collections. In my very first day working for a billion-dollar media group, the collection manager comes in. Her name was Charlie. Always remember her waltzing her way in, and she literally said, an ad is not an ad until an ad is paid. That was it. That was the total presentation for collections. It was basically some version of, I don't care what you've sold, I only care what you get paid on. And it was very interesting watching aging reports. What would happen if an ad was 2 weeks old, 4 weeks old, 8 weeks old, 12 weeks old, and the declining scale of getting paid was less and less and less likely, and it was almost formulaic, the way we had to write off stuff. At the moment, it hit 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks. It was almost formulaic, and it was a little spooky. So watch your collections. Watch your cash flow, the health and wealth of any company. We cannot be sloppy on that side, okay? So as we're looking into this year, here's another strategic space. Let's talk about the average length of ad agreements. We're right back to what Lynn had asked us, right? What percent of your agreements are for the longest term versus the shortest term? What about your ad size, right? What about ad placement, the placement of premium ads, for example? Where are you on that side? What that tells us is, number one, if you're selling a valued package, if you're well-positioned, you're getting your longer-term agreements. You're getting your larger ad campaigns. You're getting stronger renewals. Another component, what was your renewal percentage in 2018? What was it in 2017? And Jed, we're sometimes asked, what are the numbers that we should be looking at? Look, we have media groups that renew 90% or more of their renewals. Think about that. If I have 10 renewals, okay, and I get 9, I lose 1, and if I go out and sell 10 more pages or 10 more advertisers, my net is what? A plus 9. I lost 1, I sold 10, the result, the net gain is plus 9. Let's go the opposite way. If you go out and you sell, or you have 10 renewals and you lose half, that's a 50% renewal ratio, you've got to cover 5 before you have any growth on the other side. There's nothing more discouraging than to look up at your sales board or your sales stats and say, holy smokes, we lost 10. We have to cover 10 before we get any growth. The focus on net gain. What does that look like? And then the answer about to ask yourself and look for the answers related to renewals, right? Why did those renewals go away? Sometimes a business was sold, a change in leadership, a change in ownership, okay, a change in a marketing director or an ad agency. But what else is going on day in, day out, day in, day out? Study carefully what's happening with those renewals. You have to close the door. We often talk about, Jed, in our media space, we have to do what? Obtain and maintain. And if we don't maintain, we can be obtaining all day long, but we're constantly chasing our tail. You follow me on that, Jed?
I do. You know, I think that one of the real challenges with longer-term contracts for publications, and maybe you could speak to this, is that so few other media outlets or types of media require them, right? It's really, if you want to advertise online, you put your money up and you advertise until your money's gone, and when your money's gone, you either decide to put more in or you decide not to. It's very transactional, whereas with print, I know, and I understand why. It's a great business model if you can pull it off, right? That you get sort of like a year long commitment, but I think that it's become even harder for many advertisers to sort of justify that, and so which requires more information, right? It requires the publication to really give them a good reason why that year long contract is a good idea. One of the things that we recently did, and it's a little bit different, than what you're referring to, and maybe for most people it's a bad idea, but just to throw it out there, what we did is we said to an advertiser, look, a year-long contract, but we'll guarantee that you'll get a certain amount of response every week. So in other words, we're going to say to you, you're going to get, now in our case, it was like 500 phone calls. And we said, look, you're going to get 500 phone calls every week, and the contract goes on as long as we can do that. And when we can't do that anymore, then we renegotiate the contract. But as long as we can get 500 phone calls for you, this is the contract. You know, I wonder if there's something like that that a publication can do that says that sort of, you know, threads the needle with some of the deals that advertisers are getting online, where they can say, look, you sign a year-long contract and you're going to get, you know, 5 new leads a week, or an average of, you know, of whatever, you know, 20 a month or something, right? And as long as we can do that, the contract's in place.
Yeah, your point is well made. Look, I can remember selling 30 years ago, selling ads and saying, listen, rather than us talk about the ad price and our ad agreement in length, why don't we just focus on what kind of results you need on the other side? And how do we know those results? Because every month we surveyed our advertisers and they sent us back our report card. We had a little postcard, and every month they would send it back and tell us how many phone calls and how many sales they generated. And it was very interesting because we could track. Here was the quarter page brought X number of calls and sales, a half page brought 2X, and a full page brought 4X, and we would focus on what do you want in terms of the lead. But do be clear, in order to be able to do that, Jed, you have to really be what? Spot on with your tracking, obviously, and then you've got to be able to analyze which ad campaigns you're generating what kind of results so that you could be within the range. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it all falls apart if you don't have that. And I think that, I only bring this up because I think that, you know, the if consumers, and by consumers I mean, you know, businesses, advertising consumers as well, consumers of advertising, I mean, if they've learned anything, right, it's that if the internet has taught them anything, it's that, you know, you don't have to make a commitment, right? You don't have to do anything other than just spend this money and we'll get you these clicks or we'll get you these eyeballs, right? I mean, then that's both the blessing and the curse of a lot of online advertising. But, you know, so I could see it being a challenge for, you know, for a sales rep who's representing, you know, a single or group of publications to get those yearly contracts. You know, just because they're up against this sort of expectation that it's not necessary. But I think the way to combat it is, you're exactly right. You have to show them, right, that it is necessary, that you're producing leads that not only justify the annual contract, but also, you know, make it important for them to continue to advertise.
Yeah, you make it a valid point. Let's go the other way for just a second. One of the most compelling reasons is premium placement. So one of the things that we've learned with advertisers is make them fight for the spot they want. So you want to be on page 2? Great, it's there. Here's the premium rate. It is on an annual basis. By the way, you're on page 2 and continue to be as long as you stay there and as long as you renew. By the way, if you don't, you come off page 2, you move all the way back to page 14 or to the waiting list to start at 14 to work your way back to page 2. And if you drop, page 3 moves to 2, page 4 moves to 3, and everybody shifts going forward. So it is a valid point. We also try to create a buying frenzy, selling from an element of scarcity. And the scarcity is, how many page 2s do you have? You simply have a single one. How many page 3s? You have a single one. How about back cover? For some of you who sell front covers, pretty darn select. Big egos involved who like to buy premium positions. How about the centerfold, right, Jed? Okay. But think about newsletters for just a second. Jed, there could be 400 advertisers, for example, in a magazine in print, but how many prime placements do you have in an e-newsletter? You have maybe 3 spots, maybe 4, probably not 5 in an e-newsletter. So 3 or 4 of 400 are fighting for the newsletter spots, to have their ads placed there and the visibility there on an e-newsletter, and to be able to have that visibility. And we have our clients selling out their e-newsletter years in advance. Years.
For something like an e-newsletter, is that something that you would? I know you're not a big believer in discounting, but is that sort of an added value? Something that you'd be a proponent of, Like if I said to you, I'm going to buy a year-long contract with you, but I want to be in an e-newsletter, you know, every other week, right? Is that, is something like that kosher?
It is positively kosher because we bundle it in together. So we're not discounting per se the newsletter, but the newsletter is bundled in with the digital, which is bundled in with the print. So the answer is yes. If you bought it as a standalone, it would be more. You buy it in a bundle, we positively make that attractive. But the key piece is, but we keep our pricing consistent. That's the difference between discounting versus bundling, and that's a very big deal. And again, without going down that path, we've done entire teleseminars about the importance of selling from rate card integrity and how to deal with competitors who are discounting. They are completely a cakewalk to blow through, meaning competitors, they're discounting. It's the ones that sell with integrity that are the real challenges. And if you're struggling with those that are, quote, deeply discounting, pop a note to Jed and myself, and we'd be more than happy to share with you our thoughts and thinking on that, okay? But be that as it may, we'll continue down that path. Let's look at a couple of questions here, okay? Let's see. We've got one from, Chris. Chris in Massachusetts, who said, I want to become an expert in selling. Chris, we love that, okay? Let's see, though. But you also wrote and said, think big for your customers in selling them bigger programs and always keep them excited to learn more about your products you're selling them. Okay, Chris, that is spot on, and that's a really big deal. We were working this past week with our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy members, and we were talking about that. We were talking about the e-newsletters. We were talking about, in most cases, we drive newsletters out to the readership side. What we forget is driving our monthly newsletter to our advertisers and prospective advertisers. We were talking about what goes in that newsletter and how to show your thought leadership. We were talking about how to speak at association events or write for the newsletters or magazines or the websites for those specific audiences. Let's take something as simple as, again, back to realtors for just a second, okay? If I'm going to target realtors and prospective realtors, what am I doing every 30 days to share with them what I know about marketing that will benefit them? What webinar did I invite them to that I'm going to host? Maybe I'm going to speak at a panel next month. Maybe I'm going to share something in writing that's going to go into one of their realtor blogs or into their e-newsletter or into their realtor magazine. You have to think out of the box and do so much more. The excitement you create is all part of your selling engine. And then, Chris, bringing it back around, and then how do you tuck that into your media kit presentation? What we observe is that we have clients who are doing these kinds of strategies, but then they're like getting credit or taking credit on the other side, okay? So it's this little seesaw back and forth, the chicken and the egg. In our world, it is the chicken and the egg. It's both, okay? Let's see. We have a note from, a participant from Illinois, Jed, who said, what is the chance of print media competing with electronic media? And gosh, again, you live at the apex of this, and you know the differences in the impact. So why don't you say a few words related to this?
I think there's a couple ways to answer this question. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're talking about the medium itself, if you're talking about the actual act of distributing, you know, information via paper, you know, if you ask me what the chance of that competing with electronic is, I would say, you know, not good, right? Because it's expensive and it's a difficult way of distributing information. You know, so at some point in the future, this transition will continue to happen. I don't think that's any big shock. I think that what is different though, and what people in print, from my perspective, need to be concentrating on is how to retain that audience, right? I mean, it's just an incredibly valuable audience. And how your publication distributes news or distributes content is really incidental. It really is not as important as the information that you're distributing. You know, it's the you know, the medium itself isn't the point. What is the point is that most publications have very loyal, very educated, very serious readership with a lot of economic buying power, and these are readers who are absorbing this information and acting upon it in ways that they don't in other media. Right, we see close rates. By close rates, I mean people reacting to an ad who are actually taking the step of buying. You know, close rates of 40 or 50%. You know, online you're looking at close rates of, you know, less than a tenth of a percent. So the differences are enormous. I think the big challenge for print is how do you take that same sort of experience that people have when they're reading the print version of a publication, and how do you transform that into another medium? I think that, you know, e-newsletters, as Ernest mentioned earlier, they work really well. I think very often people read them in much the same way that they read print publications. Websites, not as much, right? You know, so the content that is on a website, even if it's local content that your publication is producing, it's not going to perform as well on the website from an advertising perspective as it does in print. More people will respond to that, to the ads in print, than they do to your local website, and so that's a real challenge, right? And that's the challenge that I think publications need to figure out. But the bigger thing is making sure you retain that audience, right? That you're providing content and information that is unique and that is appreciated, right? Because I think that,
that's right.
You know, unfortunately, as the economic times have gotten tougher, the natural thing is for publications to pull back on that. But that ultimately is their best value.
Your point, you know, is valid. No, you're right. And let me just field the question, because it's right in line. Carol from Massachusetts pings a note. How do you monitor print ad effectiveness? My renewal rates have not been where I want them to be. And, Carol, we've actually worked with a number of media groups that are exactly in your space, and there's a variety of ways to do it. But the first and foremost is, in your presentation, to manage their expectations, number one. Number two, to understand what they already do in the way of tracking. Number three, you've heard Jed talk about the importance of tracking phone calls. Number four, we also look at the way you're going to track it from the web and the digital side. So if they're advertising in an e-newsletter or on a website, how are you measuring that? And also how you're measuring the URL information and the leakage component that comes from an ad campaign. So, for example, if I'm going to put something in and I'm going to – my company is somewhat related to luxury pools, for example, and if the ad brings it right to their website, there's no way to measure that. There's leakage, right? But if there's a special offering and a special URL, then you can track that, or by them – clicking on that or going to that place on your website, you can also count the views, the clicks, the forms that get filled out. So there's a lot of ways to close the doors and the windows related to ad tracking. So it's a great question, and thank you so much for posing that to us right as Jed, you were answering the question as well here for our participant in Illinois. Let's shift gears for just a second, because I want to talk about the third piece that we promised to talk about, is the I wish. Okay, as you look at 2019, all right, this is the I wish is a question that we pose constantly and consistently to media sales leaders, teams, executives all over the world. It seems like such an easy concept, but what comes from it is profound, which is, what are you wishing the most for? I'm wishing for a higher retention of my renewals. I'm wishing for more impact from my ad results. I'm wishing for a better team. And then from that, we begin to go to work. But we think about the I wish. You know, what are your dreams and goals for 2019? What are they professionally? What are they personally, right? And then what else are you planning? Is it about, travels you want to do? Is it about retirement you're thinking about? Is it about the balance of time, the juggle of work, and the juggle of home life? We see all of these coming up. And whenever we're working with those of you and your teams individually on the private side or you're part of our academy, we know if we get the biz right, everything else lines up. And when you listen to Jed and myself come back month after month after month since 2006, and frankly since the beginning of Power Hour 24 years ago, every single month, you're able to come and listen to myself and Jed talk about media ad sales success. There is a formulaic approach. There are strategies to win. But if you feel like you're taking two steps forward and two back, that you sold two ads but you've lost two, that is frustrating, okay? And that does not have to continue to be the place. It is a challenge. It's not fun to be in media sales when you feel like it's two forward and two back and you're right back to square one. And we're hoping that as a result of today's teleseminar and each and every one that we host as we go forward into this year will help you with those strategies from that perspective. We also believe, though, truly, that each and every one of you need to move not only just through the ad selling sales side, but the other side of this, which is truly to be thought leaders, truly to be the high visibility, highly sought after media group, that you're selling your premium positions, that you have a high retention ratio of those in your team, that your renewals are clicking on, that your ad results are coming in. These are all of the pieces, because as we wish for you going into 2019, those are the things that you want. Because when those are in place, this space is crazy fun, and the success that you'll enjoy from it is exactly what you put into it. But if it doesn't feel that way, then reach out to us. Let us know. Tell us what the challenges are. Tell us what your struggles are. Frankly, our teleseminars, in many cases, are inspired by your questions or your challenges or your obstacles. So Jed and I always appreciate your feedback related to our teleseminar topics from that perspective. Let me jump in with one more question, Jed, and let's talk about this. Susan in Texas says, how do you impress clients if your online stats are low in number? Susan, it's difficult to impress a client if your stats are low. So what do we need? A game plan to improve them. Okay, something has to change. If your stats are low, you've got some strategies to deploy. Okay, number one, what are you doing in terms of your website related to your search engine visibility? Number two, the number one driver of more visibility and more eyes coming back to a website is your e-newsletter. We call that readers equals revenue. So if you work on your e-newsletter side, it brings what? More visibility to your website, which brings what? More phone calls, Jed, which warms your heart, because that's what? More stats to validate at the end of every month. So something has got to shift. It also includes, Susan, what we call Smart Match Alliances. I wrote that book 12 years ago, as relevant today as it was back then. Every single month, we work with our clients on Smart Match Alliances. So, for example, if I'm selling ads to realtors and I have a Smart Match Alliance with a banking group or an insurance group or a title insurance company, and they're putting my information in their newsletter and I'm putting theirs in mine, I'm getting an extra lift. In the simplest form, Smart Match Alliances increase the visibility of your newsletter subscribers, increase the visibility of your website, and ultimately, back to Jed's passion, we get what? Better ad results. Okay? So something has to change related to those online stats, because low numbers will not impress your advertisers or prospective advertisers. One of the greatest visibility charts we love to see is be able to show over the last 1, 3, 5 years, look where we were with our newsletter readers and look like it's how it's grown like a hockey stick. Go back 1, 3, and 5 years, another visual chart. Look at our website visibility, page views, and level of engagement. And it used to be over here, kind of low. It grew like a hockey stick. If your stats don't look like that, something has to change in a positive way. Jed, do you want to comment on that before we wrap up for today?
I think that driving more traffic is always good, and I think that your suggestions, Ernest, are right on. I would probably have answered the question a little differently. I probably would have said, if you're trying to compare numbers, if you have an advertiser who's comparing your web traffic numbers, and that's the differentiator between you and someone else, you're playing the wrong game. right? You're never going to win that game because you're you know, while I think what Ernest is saying is completely accurate, that you can do a lot of things to increase your numbers, the numbers online are just staggering, right? They're so monumental, right? That I mean, even crappy little websites are getting hundreds of thousands of visitors a day by all sorts of little tricks and you know, that don't really amount to anything. So I think if you have an advertiser that's saying, how come, you know, why should I spend this money with you when you only have, you know, 500 visitors a week and this other guy's got 500,000, I think you say to them, you know, if that's what you're looking for, if you're looking for anonymous eyeballs, people who don't give a crap and are just ending up on a website for no reason, then you should advertise with them. But if you're looking for people who are, you know, who are in the area or interested in the industry or interested in the niche, whatever your focus may be, then you're much better off with my 500 than those 500,000, because what you're going to find is that my 500 are going to spend a lot more money. And here's why I think that, right? I mean, sort of to Ernest's point, right? Here's why I think that. Because we had one advertiser last year that sold, you know, X per month, or, you know, got this many calls or this many leads. You know, being able to throw out some information like that that's specific to an industry or geographic region is a lot more relevant, and for any smart advertiser is going to be a lot more compelling than just these anonymous numbers, which are so big that they almost mean nothing. So I think that you play a game, you know, you just have to switch the game, right? It's not about numbers. It's about sales. Because I'll be honest with you, there's very, very few print publications that can win on the numbers game. You have to play a different game.
Mm-hmm. And Jed, to your point, what you're talking about is the quality versus quantity, and your point is perfectly valid. I can remember competing against the newspapers, and I remember walking into ad sales meetings, and they say, I don't know, you know, Ernest, you're fired. You know, you only brought 10 phone calls. The newspaper brought 100. And I was like, wow, that's kind of a tough meeting. I guess we're sort of done. And then I realized, I said, hang on for a sec. I said, but of those 100, what happened to them? How many of those 100 converted into a tour, converted into coming into your office? How many of those converted into, and they were like, well, we don't know. I said, well, let's go look at that. What do we find? The 100 wasn't as pre-qualified. And even those who were, there was only a very, very small percentage. Maybe 2 or 3 might convert into revenue in a transaction. I said, well, let's look at my 10. I said, wow, yours are much more pre-qualified. Let's walk through those 10. And actually, we sold to 7 of the 10. Huh. We work less with your media, with your leads. We close more. You bring us a better return as a result on that. And the moment I realized that was like that aha moment 3 decades ago, Jed. I know exactly what you're saying, because it's not just about the amount, but it's also about the quality, which ties back to what? Buying power, demographics, psychographics, and again, back to the question, Susan, it also ties back to testimonials from advertisers that say, wow, you are the best source, you bring the best leads, we close a higher percentage. If you've got those pieces, it matches exactly what you're hearing from Jed on that perspective. So we win because we can raise the visibility of our newsletter readers, our website visits, better readers to our publication, but we on the other side also win because of the quality of those who are reading and seeing our information. So both sides matter from that perspective, both quality and quantity, and we want you to think strategically about both sides related to your specific media, okay? So, Jed, we're just coming up on the top of the hour. We want to be respectful to each of you and all of you. We start on time, and we end on time. We want to say thank you so much for joining us for the first teleseminar of this year, A Media Bids Podcast. Power Hour Teleseminar. We're delighted that you're here. We expect that you will have an extraordinary 2019. Please continue to come enjoy. We'll be back in the month of February. Let us know if there are specific topics or areas that you would like us to cover. Jed, it's always a pleasure working together with you and your MediaBids team. For those of you who work with MediaBids, you know what they bring. If you haven't and you're not at present, go to MediaBids.com and go take a look at their site. If you'd like to learn more about the work that we do on the media side, simply come to powerhour.com. This is our 24th year working with media leaders in 14 time zones around the world. Jed, some closing comments before we wrap up today?
Well, thanks thanks to everyone. And, you know, like a lot of these teleseminars, you know, I think that we hopefully cause you to ask some questions about things you're doing. And if you have questions for us, feel free to reach out. Really, we're happy to expand upon anything that we said here today. So thank you for joining us. And thank you, Ernie.
Thank you. Thank you so much to each of you and all of you. And we'll see you next month. Take care.
Thank you.